as I thought about what I'd share, I've called today's message, Let God Be God. Let God, I want you to think about that. Let God be God. I know it sounds sort of simplistic, but I don't think it's quite as easy as the terminology allows for. Let God be God. And I'll tell you why it's not that easy. Because God does things so differently to you and I. He thinks differently. He sees differently. His thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. So when I say this, let God be God, we've actually got to come into some agreement with God about this to see it happen. So I look at my journey as a believer over the last 30-something years, and God doesn't always fit into the box I'd like him to fit into. You know, sometimes he moves so fast. I go, will you slow down? Like, I'm just, you know. And other times he moves so slow, it's a wonder he gets anything done. I stand in this place where it just doesn't work the way I think it should work. It's this dilemma of God being God. He doesn't seem to answer prayer sometimes. You know, some of the biggest decisions I've ever had to make in my life as I've gone to God, and I always want God to tell me what to do. But he doesn't seem to do it that way. And I go, God, well, I've got to make this big decision. What should I do? And it's almost as I look to heaven, there's a sign in the heavens that says, gone fishing. It's quiet. There's no noise. There's no feedback. I don't get the answer to prayer that I need in a particular time. There's other times I get blessed without even praying for it. So there's this whole, this dilemma of me or humanity, you and I, learning to work with God and allowing him to be God. The plain truth of it is this, that God's ways, God's thoughts are higher than ours. His ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 puts it together in such a complete package. Let's read it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Simply, clearly, as simple as that. Understand, if God was small enough to understand, he would not be big enough to be worshipped. If God was small enough to be understood, he wouldn't be big enough to be worshipped. His ways are totally different to ours. It's a whole nother level. It's like driving in the Brisbane streets in congestion on a Friday afternoon. And this is how we as humans do life. We see our lives through the lens of this level here. You know, like there's a traffic jam, there's something happening over there. I can't see beyond that. I don't know what's going on. I drive the freeway every day between here and Coomera where I live. And I am perplexed at some days how the traffic comes to a standstill and then speeds up again by itself. With no accident, no nothing. I don't know what took place. I don't know what happened. I find it that I can only see this way. But God sees things from a different view. It's like getting in a helicopter or a plane and getting up above the congested streets. He's able to see how it all interconnects, which is the right way, which is the wrong way, which is the way we should go, how it all should pan out. So here we are looking at our perspective of life, like why isn't this happening? Why doesn't that take place? What's going on over there? And then we see God at a higher level. His ways, his thoughts are higher. He sees it from a different perspective. And therefore, I've got to learn at some place in my Christian journey to trust God and allow him to be God in my life because he sees differently. And because we can't see like him, we tend to put God in our design of a box. We try to lock him in to what we think it should look like or how it should work, how God should do things, when they should happen, what it's all going to look like. There's this plan that we're going to pray and then something's going to take place like that. The trouble is once we put God in our design, hear with that, we put God in our design of a box, we're going to get disappointed. Well, we're not going to see that because he doesn't think like we do. He doesn't see like you. He chooses a different pathway. You know, like, God, I did this, this, and this. Don't you care? Where are you? But it's not his fault. We designed the special box. We designed the picture of how God should move, when and where and how. And I know this though, over the years of designing special boxes and watching God go outside of those boxes, I look back down the track and I'm glad that God's ways are higher than my ways. I'm glad that His thoughts are higher than, not at the time, I'm disappointed, I'm upset, I'm like, what the heck? You know, but when I look back, I go, thank God His ways are higher. Thank God He sees it differently than I do. In Romans 8, verse 28, this comes into play when we let God be God in our lives. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. You'll notice it says, we know that all things work together for good. Doesn't mean all the things we go through are good. He says, but all things work together for good. Yeah. Not at the time. We go through some tough times, some tough seasons, and we go, where are you, God, in this storm? Where are you? But those who throw their weight upon Him, who trust in Him, those ones called according to His purpose, then all those things eventually will work out for good. I've got to, His ways are so different to our ways, how He sees. Like, man looks at the appearance. We are driven by what something or somebody looks like. You go down any aisleway in Woolies or Coles, down the cereal breakfast is there. There are lines of cereal boxes around, and all the energy goes into making those cereal boxes look good. They want you to look good because you're going to choose on what looks good. We're driven by packaging. And I'm going to say a lot of those cereals, the cardboard is more nutritious than what's inside them. But we're driven by it. Advertising, marketing works like that. Do you remember that Toyota ad? Still my favorite ad is when this guy, his car rolls off the cliff into the ocean and disappears. And then sad music comes on, he's heartbroken. And then the next scene is him walking down the beach, obviously 6 months later because he's got a big beard, broken, sad. All of a sudden, there his car is on the beach. And he walks over to that motor vehicle, opens the door, no water inside, and starts it first time. I want one of those. A car that's been underwater for 6 months, doesn't leak, and starts first time. Marketing, it's all about packaging. Imagine if we did an ad as a church and did things like people flying around the auditorium. You know, like the slogan would be, you know, God lifts you higher. Imagine if we did, we'd be on 60 minutes and 60 seconds. But we look at the outside, but God doesn't look at the outside, He looks at the heart. He sees beyond your packaging, He sees your story. He sees your potential. He sees the hidden treasures inside of you. See, man sees differently to what God sees. Man has a survival instinct, so we hoard. We've got to make sure that we're going to survive, which is a reasonable instinct to have. But there's a higher way, and God sees not through survival, He sees through generosity. He actually says, if you give something away, you'll have a better opportunity of getting more back. See, God sees things from a different perspective to we do. Man views life through good or bad, right or wrong. We go, that's right, that's wrong. He's good, she's bad. No, but God doesn't look through right or wrong or good. He doesn't view you or anybody else through right or wrong or good or bad. He views life through life and death. He doesn't look at you and you're sinning, doing something that the Bible says not to do. Like, people think He's this universal cosmic wet blanket that's trying to stop everybody's fun. But no, He doesn't say that's wrong or you're bad. He says that leads to death. Death in your relationships, death in your self-esteem, death in your potential, death in your future. Don't do that. We call it sin, but it's not because it's wrong or evil. It just leads to death. And then He says, He looks through not what's good or what's right. He says, this leads to life. And so again, we get caught up on they're good, they're bad, they're wrong, they're right. I mean, we get caught up, but God's never about right or wrong. He never judges anybody. He's just saying, will you choose life? Will you choose life? Man says, I'll believe when I see. God says, believe and you will see. the things we've got to deal with. And it's not an easy thing to let God be God. Man thinks that our answers for our future lie in our own wisdom and intelligence. How is that working out for the world? How is it working out for the world? So let's just look last 2,000 years, where we've come from or come to, and we are so smart. I now wear a watch on my arm that I can make a phone call from in the ocean. That's why I bought it. Not that I would ever make a phone call from the ocean. My wife can ring me, phone me while I'm surfing. I would never answer that. But she can. You know, but look at how we treat each other. Look at humanity's struggle to get on with one another around the world, where the biggest industries in the world are not greeting cards and flowers. They're drugs, sex trafficking, and ammunition. We think our answers lie in our own intellect, our intelligence as a race or as a people. But God says this. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. See the difference between God's ways and man's ways. We try and fix our problems by dealing with that problem there and this problem here, that problem over there. God's view is not fixing that problem. He says, if you let me fix your internal problems, then you're able to fix your external problems. We look at the outside trying to fix that, and God said, no, let me deal. You know, there'll never be peace on this world until peace is in the human heart. You can't have peace out there unless there's peace in here. I'm looking at the demonstrations and riots in the USA at the moment for peace and social justice and the whole thing. And as much as I think it's a good thing, we need more justice and more peace in the earth, you can't go around demonstrating for peace and social justice by burning your own communities, destroying your neighbor's cars. I mean, it's bizarre in my head to think that somehow by you burning, looting, fighting, that's going to make the world a better place for social justice. It's like going to a drive-in movie, hating the movie, and slashing the seats. There's no context. Why? Because our ways is to fix some problem out there. God's ways, let me fix this problem in here. See, every problem or issue we face in the world comes back to a heart issue. Even pollution is an end result of greed and selfishness. It doesn't matter what problem we face out there, it starts with what happens in here. God looks not there, but he looks for here. God's ways, so different to our ways. And that brings me to the whole Jesus story. God's plan for salvation of humankind. And it starts with a baby being born in a stable in the Middle East to an unmarried virgin. Isn't there a more significant way to save the world? I mean, I'm not sure Hollywood's going to pick that up for the next blockbuster. It's a bizarre concept that God would come to the planet as a baby, not as a king. I mean, if man was orchestrating this whole deal of saving the world, Jesus would have been born in a palace. He would have been born as a king, as a ruler. He would have instantly had a million Instagram followers. He would be looked at as a superstar. But God's way was to be born in a stable where no one could see. Man's way, he would rule the world. He would be the king of kings on the planet. But God's way is that he didn't come to be served, but to serve. Jesus had incredible gifts of healing, miracles. Man's way, they would have set up a business empire. They would have gone all the way from Las Vegas to Beijing, doing a prayer to make money out of his significant gifts. God's way, he freely gives salvation and healing to all those that ask. It's so different. So different. We've got to come to grips with this context of letting God be God and not relying on letting God be God is the battle between our reason and his wisdom. Our opinion and his value system. It's that battle there to let God be God in our lives. And it seems foolishness to men or even us as believers to contain or get enough trust in to allow God to be God. And I'm not saying you shouldn't use your mind. God never said he would remove our mind. He said he would renew it. You still got a brain to think, but you got to get smart enough to trust God. You've got to get smart enough to trust God. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians, I believe. Chapter 1, verses 18. And this really puts the whole thing together about how man sees things and how God sees things. It says this, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, how strange that the wisdom of man is not to know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The Jews request a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness, listen to this, the foolishness, if God was foolish at any level, if there was foolishness in God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than any man. And if there was any weakness in God, if there was one weakness, and there's not, but if there was, and that weakness of God is stronger than men's. A so clear picture of our needs understand that we've got to hand over our reason and stand upon His brilliance, who He is. Let's go on with the story of salvation. Through the journey Jesus goes through after being born in a stable, growing up, starts His ministry journey. And at one particular stage, near the end, He's thrown in jail. Now understand this, what Jesus was known as at the time was the one that did good and healed the sick. That's what people knew him as, not a person that was just trying to incite riots. He wore his mask, he did the right things. He was a person that did good and healed the sick. That's what they described him as. He did good and he healed the sick. He's now in jail. On this particular holy day, the Romans, wanting to appease the Jews every year because they dominated Israel, they were the conquering nation over Israel, would release one prisoner on every year. They would release, and it would be the Jews' decision. It was like a democratic vote. They would decide which prisoner would be released on this particular day. And understand, democracy is not a good form of government. As a matter of fact, Winston Churchill, the ex-Prime Minister of England, said this. He said, democracy is the worst form of government except for every other one. In other words, it's not a great form, it's just the better out of all forms of government. So on this day, they made a democratic decision. There was Barabbas, who was an inciter, a murderer, not just to the Romans, but to the Jews. He was a convicted villain. Then there was Jesus, the one who did good and healed the sick. I'm thinking, well, that should be an easy sort of decision to make. Well, we got the criminal, the murderer, the rape, the whole thing, and we got the guy who's just going around healing people and doing good. The crowd votes. They said, free Barabbas, free Barabbas, crucify the Christ, crucify the Christ. That was the shout of the crowd, crucify the Christ. And you're thinking, well, that's a terrible moment in time. No, no, no. The spirit that drove those people to free Barabbas is still alive today. That spirit that goes antsy against everything that God puts into place, every value that's in the Bible, is being cried out about today. And the people of the world and the church doing good, healing the sick, taking care of people, crucify that church. Crucify those people. Keep them quiet. Don't let them have their way. Release the villain. Let's vote for the villain. It's the same spirit that governs our planet today. And we need to be aware of it. We've got a spirit that says free abortion at a whim. Go right ahead. We're going to vote for that. You're in. We can do that. You're free to do that. Barabbas, you're free. The church, take away its rights. Be assured we live in a battle today and we need to understand that God is our way out of this. We need to make sure that we let God be God in our lives. Let God be God in our lives. Man's way. Free Barabbas. Kill the Christ. God's way. You don't have to kill him. He was going to give his life anyway. You don't have to kill him. He was going to give his life anyway. You see, man's way was we'll free crime and incite chaos. God's way is I'll surrender my life that you may have life. And in his death, there was freedom for those that even cried, crucify him. Even those that cried, crucify him. His death didn't bring death. It released life to all those who accept God's truth. He didn't bring the revenge of the gods. Out of his death came life abundant and life eternal. Salvation for you and for me. Man lays the dead Savior in a tomb, but God raises him from the dead. He was never going to stay in that ground. Be assured, he was never going to stay in the ground. You can't kill or keep down the one who gave life and brought life into existence. You can't kill the Savior unless he gives you his life. You can't nail him to a cross without his permission. He's God. Man's way, death is an end. God's way, death is just a new beginning. He sees it from a different picture. He sees it from a different view. Jesus is all about all of us, everybody. He's about life coming out of death, about new beginnings, about second chances. He's about a future and a hope. He's about eternal salvation. We need to get to a place where we let God be God. He's got this. He's got this. At the end of the day, you're going to believe somebody or something. You're going to trust in somebody or something, even if it's your own reasoning. We all make a decision in what we believe and what we trust in. And I think if you really want to be a believer that continues the journey under God's greatness, then you can't trust your opinion, your view. You must let God be God in your life. I think Proverbs sums it up best as I pull the whole thing together here in chapter 3, 1 through 10. And I don't know what you're studying at the moment in the scriptures, but this would be a good one to get your head around this week. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It says this, "My son, do not forget my law or my values or my concepts, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." I'll say it again, that the words written in this Bible, the words written on your iPhone or computer that are the Word of God, were never intended to stay on those pages. They're always intended to be written on the tablets of a human heart. That's where the power comes from. Not that we just read them, but we internalize them and we know them. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Listen, use your brain, but trust in the Lord. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. I am confident in my future, not by what happens in the world, but by I've decided to throw myself upon Him and He will direct my paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Be in awe of the Lord. And depart from evil, that which will bring not wrong, but death. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. Live generously, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. We need to let... He'd let God out of the neatly manufactured box you've designed for him. The Israelites tried to carry him in an ark for a season. That didn't work. They built a temple for him, thinking that was big enough. He ripped the curtain down and said, enough is enough. You see, the only thing big enough to house the presence of God is not a box you design, not an ark or a temple. It's that of a human heart. The only thing big enough to house the presence of God is the heart of His creation. Know His word. Do what He says. Write His truth on your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean or trust in your own understanding. Acknowledge Him, worship Him, adore, honor Him, and He will direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Be in awe of God. Honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of your increase. No, His ways are often not our ways. His ways are often, but His ways are higher, wider, greater, and deeper. Let's decide to let God be God in and of our lives. At the end of the day, you will trust somebody or something. Determine it will be God. His wisdom over your reasoning. At some stage, you've got to come to this place where it becomes that real to you. When I was going through my cancer journey, they diagnosed me with throat cancer, and then they diagnosed me with lung cancer. And there was a season where they're not sure how it was all going to pan out. They couldn't effectively treat the lung cancer because they're already treating the throat cancer. So we had to wait and see what happened with the lung cancer. They said, we just can't do anything about it. And in that situation, you've got no idea how many thoughts you can have in 1 minute. To praise God, I'm healed, to I'm dead. To praise God, I'm dead. And that's every minute. And you had to get to a place where, see, thoughts will come. The Bible doesn't say you won't have thoughts. The Bible says bring your thinking into the obedience of Christ. Bring them into captivity to the obedience of what the Word of God says. So you have to get to a place where you acknowledge, well, what do you really believe and who do you really trust? So when in that state of not sure what the future would bring, I got to a place personally where I said, you know what, God? I know you can heal me, but even if you don't, remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? God, you're well able to deliver me. That was my prayer. You're well able, but even if you don't. So I got to a place was this, God, in life and in death, you are my breath. In life and in death, you are my, I have decided to put my trust, my eternity with you today. We need to let God be God in our lives. His ways are higher. You will look back saying, thank you, Jesus, that I trusted you and didn't go my own way. In the end, my best future will be letting God be God in my life. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Lord, I thank you for every person here today. And I pray in this tumultuous time of not knowing where truth even lays anymore as we read news and look at media and what people are saying here and people are saying there, we can't find anything that we know is truth. We don't know who's lying, who's not lying, whether they know or not know. But I do know that you are the rock and in you I can place my life upon and you will not move on me. You are solid and secure now and forever. God, I thank you that in this shifting sands of life, there is a rock and his name is Jesus. Today you might have come and you might not be a believer in Jesus. Yeah, you might have grown up maybe in church for a while, but life took you down a different pathway. Maybe you've never decided to live for him. Great news this morning. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been. God's not angry. He's not mad at you. He just wants to be God in your life. He sees the very best of you. He doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks for that story. The person that you are, and he wants to save you. He wants to live with you. He wants to be in relationship with you. Today, the Bible makes it very clear. It's so simple. Believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, and you shall be saved today. You shall be saved. Believe upon, you can come into relationship with your Creator. You're going to put your trust and faith in something in life. My call to you today is, would you put your trust in God? I'd love to pray with you. You're going to say, yeah, I'm coming back. I want to reconnect. I want to recommit. I want to believe today. I want to be my first time. I'm coming. I want to know Jesus right now. If that's you, I'd love to pray with you right where you're seated. I'm not going to embarrass you today. But if that's you, would you slip your hand up, give me a wave and say, you know what? Include me in that prayer today. I want to make that decision. I want to believe upon Jesus today. Just give me a wave across the room and I'm going to pray with you right where you're seated today. I'm looking from the left to the right, from the front to the back. Say, look one more time. Thank you in the middle. That's a great decision there. Others today, if that's you, just slip your hand up. We're about to pray right now. So look one more time. Lord, I thank you for that hand. I know the Word of God declares that even when one comes back, heaven rejoices. So I know whatever heaven was doing right now, it just got excited for that person. And I thank you, Lord, that in this moment, a miracle takes place. Sins will be forgiven and never remembered. Salvation will be their bread. And God, there'll be a coming alive to God taking place in their spirit. God, we thank you for that person today. And we thank you, those on a journey towards you. We ask blessing upon them in Jesus' name. And all that agreed said, amen. Let's give it up for that great decision today.